Choose your next words carefully, Leonidas. They may be your last.
Without further ado, the number one radio personality, Brian the Hammer Jackson.
Yeah, you just heard me clear my throat. Good mornings, kiddo. Nice read. Wow.
And now, without further ado, the number one radio personality, Brian the Hammer Jackson.
Can you hear me, kiddo? Can you hear me?
Brian the Hammer Jackson. Well, until Brian gets here, you know what? We're going to talk about Purple Diamond Publishing. The show is sponsored by Purple Diamond Publishing. And Charisse Kateri Cox, you've written the great American novel. Now let Charisse and Purple Diamond Publishing help you make that novel into a bestseller, get you on the New York Times bestselling list, and all those great, great bestselling lists. And some of the things that Charisse can help you with, and this is just a few of the things, mind you. She can help you with your ISBN number. She can help you with the all-too-important query letter, the letter that you need to send to publishers and agents to get your book out of the slush pile and into their hands. She can help you get their attention with this query letter so that, you know, you stand out in the crowd. She can help you with editing and formatting. Brian, are you here?
I think so. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now. And now, without further ado, once again, the number one radio personality, Brian the Hammer Jackson. I was just telling you about Purple Diamond Publishing.
I know. Take two, huh? Well, thank you.
Yep.
Good read. I heard everything. My mic didn't work. Thank you for joining us today. I am Brian, and that's Fred. Thank you, Fred, for introducing me.
I'm Fred.
Yeah.
Oh, you're welcome, Ethel.
Thank you. We are global. Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening. We are global. We're heard worldwide, and the world hears us, and we will apologize later. Thank you. We have a very special show today.
I'll apologize later.
You will. I know you do the dirty work. We have a very special show with a very special lady, Jill Rosenblatt, and she has written a very, very, very good book, as you heard with Ellen with the reading.
It's the first book in a series.
Oh, really?
It's the first book in a series. Yeah.
Yeah, The Fixer, The Naked Man. When I first saw the title, The Fixer, The Naked Man, I'm thinking that he had erectile dysfunctions, and maybe this is a book that how to. And then I started reading the story. I go, oh, yeah. Going, oh. But they ought to call that, huh? You know, if you have an erectile dysfunction, they ought to have a bottle called The Fixer. I think it would work. It would sell.
Wow.
But in this case, I love the story. I really do. I love how she picked a New York College student. I loved it. And let's get more into it. Let's have Jill tell us in her own words about the book. If you're listening to us, Ellen will tell you how to get to the studio. Jill may take some phone calls later. And Ellen, what's the digit for them to call?
The digits, if you'd like to come in and join us, are 319-527-6099.
That's it. That's the number. It'll get you in the studio. That's the number. It'll get your voice heard. And if you are an author, please come in the studio. Say how much you love Jill. She loves it. I mean, really, really, you know, kiss her ass really well. And if you do that, you can promote your book while you're here. Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, Jill Rosenblatt. Yeah, look at that crowd. Look at that. Good morning,
Good
Jill.
Good morning. Good morning.
How are you?
I'm
good.
Well.
Oh, good. I love the premise of your book, by the way, Jill. You're talking to Ethel, and you just heard Fred read your book thing. And The Naked Man, The Fixer. Love it. You know, more and more, we've been interviewing ladies, authors for a long time. And within the last 2 years, I noticed a shift into more of the lead characters are female. And they're almost James Bond-like characters, more and more coming off the pages. I wonder if that's a coincidence of the Year of the Woman, or did you notice that shift, Jill? And did that inspire you to write your lead character as a female?
You know, I have noticed it. I have noticed a definite change and a trend of just wanting to see these ladies just kind of, you know, get out there. And instead of being the sidekick, you know, sort of the girl waiting on the side for the man with the hat to come in and save the day, I think it was more interesting to see a woman have her own adventure, have her own transformation. I think it's interesting to watch her because she gets a lot wrong. She gets some things right, and she learns a lot. And what I think might be interesting for readers is she doesn't come in as an expert, as a fixer. This is really an origin story. How does somebody get to be this person that is the go-to person for everybody to call to say, hey, I got a problem, I need you to make it go away? So how does somebody learn how to do this? What kind of skills do you need? How do you learn those skills? Who are your contacts? And on top of that, what I think is really interesting for her is her moral compass keeps getting challenged. Actually, the Naked Man is the first book in the series, and it goes on to The Killing Kind, and the last book just released late last year was The Last Romanoff. And with each adventure, her moral compass keeps getting pushed. And I think it's really interesting to watch her make those decisions to decide how much is too much, how far is too far, and what can she live with and still sleep at night. So I like to see, I just wanted to see her have her own story instead of waiting on the side for, you know, for somebody else to have their adventure and she's just sort of, you know, waiting for him to come home, I guess you could say. So not that she doesn't have her sidekick and her mentor with her, the thief Alexander Winter. So I certainly, I like to, you know, I hope people will enjoy that relationship and that back and forth as much as I love writing it. So we'll see what happens.
Wow.
Jill, you said her moral compass keeps getting pushed. I read a little bit about, you know, she has to steal a tape. Does she ever have to commit murder or anything heinous like that?
She doesn't. At the moment, she does not. But I think it's going to be interesting to see where her story takes her because I'm now working on books 4, 5, and 6. And she's going to have to make some decisions, maybe not what she's going to do herself, but who is putting her in danger? It's either her or this other person. What will she allow to happen? And maybe, who knows, we'll see. Maybe there's going to be that moment when she's going to have to make that fatal choice. I don't want to give too much away. So, but for now, we're just dealing as things usually do. Things are starting, if you want to call it, on a smaller scale, and she's making these smaller decisions about what she can tolerate and what she tells herself is okay. And then, of course, as situations get tougher and tighter, those decisions keep getting bigger and bigger. So,
see, Ellen?
Okay.
So you have to wait and read the book. Look at you. So how long, as this is your first book, I think Ellen mentioned, is it going to be a trilogy or is this a standalone book?
These are not standalone books. Actually, when I finished The Naked Man, The Naked Man was the first book I had written after I came out of my writer's block. So, and it was a bad case. So I had just written it until I was done, and then I thought, well, what am I going to do with this thing? Is it going to be each book? Is it going to be a standalone adventure? And in the end, I decided that actually each of these books, they are connected by a through plot that goes through all of them. There are some other adventures on the side. And at the moment, I see the series continuing for at least, I have it planned through 12 books. You know, it's pretty ambitious, and I hope I get there, but that's the plan right now.
Wow. You sound very educated. Can I get a little background on you, Jill? Were you a cheerleader at University of Most People Can't Afford Us? I mean, you sound really
No, not at all. My journey to getting a bachelor's in writing and literature took me over 20 years of stopping and starting and stopping and starting, and I didn't know what to do with myself. And but I finally did it. I finally finished. As a matter of fact, I finally finished just I'm so bad with time. I want to say maybe 6 or 7 years ago at Burlington College, which doesn't exist anymore, but I did get my writing and literature degree there. And then actually, when I was in the middle of writer's block and I couldn't get anything down on paper, I said, well, why don't I go back to school? I don't know what else to do with myself right now. So I went back and I got a master's degree just to keep myself busy because I couldn't write. So, but it's been a long haul. It's been over 20 years to get there. So, but it's, you know, I got there. You know, sometimes you just have to take the long way around. So, but it's good.
That in itself is remarkable. Wow. To have that discipline to go right back.
Yep. Sometimes
you
do.
You just got to do
it. We're glad you got there because this book sounds really interesting. You know, tell us about Katerina. I mean, tell us a little bit about her, your character. She's your main character, right?
Yeah. Katerina came to the big city and with big dreams, you know, and I remember how I felt back then. You know, you think you have it all figured out. This is the plan. This is what I'm going to do. And so she came to the big city to go to school to become an attorney. And she takes a job working for a lawyer with sort of a lowercase L as far as his ethics are concerned. And things just seem to go off the rails. And she finds herself, as a lot of young people do, they take a wrong turn or make a bad decision. And she's stuck. She's out of cash. And her parents are MIA with their own problems. And she has to decide, you know, am I going to give up? Am I going to give up and give up the dream and go home? And the one thing that sort of has come out about Katerina as I've been spending so much time with her, she is very stubborn. She has a stubborn streak as a character that can be good but can also be bad. So, but it is her stubborn streak that keeps her in it. And she just keeps traveling, sort of taking that path further and further, in a sense because she doesn't want to give up. But it does begin with a fateful phone call. And I think that that becomes part of the story that she will come back to, and she does come back to, if I hadn't picked up the phone. Because I'm always interested in situations like that where you're in something in your life and sometimes you can trace it back and you wonder, was it that one moment that made all the difference? If it hadn't been for this, if it hadn't been for that. And so I've always been kind of fascinated by that. And in her case, the book opens with the phone call, which kind of sets her on her way. And it's just something, you know, I get curious about things. I like to explore the idea of it. You know, would it have been different had she not picked up the phone? So so her search for cash is really what's driving her in this first book. And, you know, things just get more and more complicated.
Wow. Yeah, so so her mentor, you said that she has a mentor. Who's her mentor, and how did she meet this person? Did he just come up to her, or is it, you know, because I know they don't take out ads in the newspaper looking for fixers.
You know, what happens is it's through that phone call. That's a really great point. Through that fateful phone call, she runs into somebody who is in and of itself, she is a fixer working for an agency. And that's basically how Katerina comes to the MJM agency that has no website, doesn't really list services of any kind, and they are an introductory service. They are a place where men of means can make the call and get assigned to a consultant. MJM is an introductory agency. They just introduce consultants to the people who need them. But as far as how she meets her mentor, in order to get the job done, the idea is to use your contacts. And even if you have a contact that can't get you the thing that you want, they may know somebody who does. So she begins this process of building a network. And it's through building this network and go to the contact you have to see if you can find the next person who can, you know, you can beg, borrow, or steal with to get what you need.
Yep.
That she comes upon her mentor, Alexander Winter, who is the thief. And, you know, for a character that I thought was never going to come back after this book, and I just couldn't seem to get a handle on him. He just started to take off and take over and got very bossy, and he's really become an integral part of the series. The series is very much hers. It is her story, but I kind of like how they fit together, and there are portions of the story which are theirs, but it's still very much her journey. It's all about her. So she basically meets him through a contact of a contact and on from there.
Cool. So is there going to be any love interest for Katerina, or is this strictly no romance at all, just strictly business?
No, there's romance. There is.
There's romance.
There definitely. Yeah, there is. There definitely is. So.
Is it going to be between Katerina and Alex, or are you going to put in another character to throw everybody off?
I don't want to spoil it. I don't want to spoil it because there is a lot going on in book two in The Killing Kind, and even more going on in The Last Romanoff. So I don't want to give too much away, but there is definitely quite a bit of fireworks between Kat and Alex. Not that they're another suitor sort of in the lurking in the background, but I just don't want to give too much of it away. I want it to be a surprise.
Okay. So can you tell us a little bit about Alex, you know, about his life and, you know, how him and Katerina meet, you know, because I know you said that she has to enlist his help. So who is he?
Alexander Winter, whose name is not Alexander Winter. He's actually someone of many different names. He's a thief. He is a very good thief. He has been at it for quite a while, and for the moment, his backstory, I know it, but it has not been revealed yet to the reader. It's something that will come out over time. And she actually finds him. She goes looking for him. She uses her contact to get his name. She finds out where he's located, and she basically goes and asks for his help, which he finds quite amusing, because really she's asking for help in order to retrieve something. But, of course, for Winter, he's going to want to know what's in it for me. Is there anything else where we're going that's going to be of any interest to me? And she's actually having this ethical argument with him as to why he's not permitted to steal anything, even though they are going to break in to go get something, but that's totally different. So it's definitely a clash of personalities. It's a clash of ethics. And but he is, when she meets him, he's kind of very quiet. He's living alone by himself, kind of keeping away from everybody. And she soon discovers that there's more to Alexander Winter, that he has a little bit of an issue that you wouldn't imagine a thief would have. And again, I don't want to give it away, but it's definitely something she is not expecting, and it does impact the work they're going to do together. So I'll just leave that out there as a little bit of a hint. So.
So you said that you have to read the book. You have to read the book if you want to find out anything. Yeah, so how long did it take you to write this book? I mean, is this something that you said that you had writer's block. So how long did it take you to write this book after you came over your writer's block? I mean, writer's block is a big issue with authors.
Yeah, it was a miserable experience. I have to say it was a pretty miserable experience. I had actually published with Kensington Press, I think we're going back to 2009. And I published two books with them, and I think it was 9 and 10. And then after that, I couldn't settle down to write anything. It was a very difficult experience. I would think of titles. I had no problem thinking of titles. My titles were great, but I couldn't actually get anything down on paper. And I went so far as I started one project, and I got 60 pages in, and then the project just died. And that's when I had stopped and I went to school because I thought this is just not working. And, you know, it was funny. What had happened to me was my mom had pointed out an article to me where it was just an article about indie authors and how they were doing their thing on Amazon and building, carving out a career for themselves. And I just remember that I was just so annoyed with myself. I was so angry at myself. I was like, what is wrong with me? Why can't I get out there and just do what I know I should be doing? And it was one of those proverbial awake all night struggling with an idea. And that's when the seed of the idea for The Fixer came to me. And just to what would happen if there was a woman out there who needed something from a powerful man and had to negotiate. And I had heard the term fixer before. So that kind of started the whole process. I wrote it in, I would say, maybe 3 months. And the way that I did it, and you'll see that this book, The Naked Man, is a novella, because I was so afraid that I was never going to get through this and I wasn't going to get to the end, that I just took like one of those personal journals that you write in, and I just thought, okay, just write scenes and just write them until you're done. And whatever you come out with, as short or as long as it is, that's the story. And that's what I did. I just wrote until I felt that I was finished. And I was just happy to get done. And when it came out, it was about 120 or so pages. And I thought, well, that's fine. That's what it is. This is the story. And I was just so thrilled. I was just so happy to finish something and to see it done. And then, you know, once I got it published, I thought, well, what now? You know, what do I do now? And it just seemed that once I got past that point, after that, everything just started to come out, and it just hasn't stopped since, which I'm really grateful for. So,
yeah.
But it was just a matter of a few short months. So,
you said that this book, the first book, The Naked Man, is a novella. What is the difference between a novella and a novel? You know, I've heard that word.
It's the length. It's really just the length. I off the top of my head, I can't remember where they usually cut off the word count, but if it's under a certain word count, they consider it. I've even heard the term used sometimes, a long short story. This is a little bit longer than that, but a full length novel is really they put together a range of minimum words to maximum words that they feel, and then below that, they just feel that it's a novella. It's just not long enough to be considered a full-length novel.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've heard that. Yeah, so you said that you wrote other books. So after, I mean, is this the only thing that you're working on? Is this series, or do you have other things that you've been working on or that you are going to work on?
For right now, The Fixer is all that I'm working on. I'm just so into this series and very committed to it. So this is it for me. This is the only thing that I have that I'm doing now. I have other books that I would love to get to in the future. But for right now, you know, if I get an idea about them, I'll just make a note. I'll just put it off to the side. And hopefully one day, you know, I'll get to them. But the very first two books that were ever published through Kensington Press were totally different. The first book that I ever wrote was called Project Jennifer, and that was, you know, chick lit. Then the second book was for Better or Worse, and that was more women's fiction. And as far as, you know, nobody was more surprised than me that I'm now writing suspense crime thrillers. I don't think I picked this. I think it picked me. I mean, I do love, I love spy novels. I love to read them. I love crime capers. I'm a big fan of Daniel Silva and the Gabriel Alon spy novel series that he writes. I love it. I wait every year for the book to come out. Right now I'm reading Donald E. Westlake. He wrote a series of crime capers called the Dortmunder novels, and he also wrote the Parker series under, I think, a different pseudonym. And I just love his books. I'm reading them in order. I'm studying them. I think he's just brilliant the way he wrote. And you know, I just read his narrative and his sentences, and I think, wow, can I do that? Because he's really amazing. He's just so talented. So I would not have pegged me for suspense crime thrillers, but I enjoy it. I really love it. And I meet a lot of terrific people who are just so kind to help me with research and helping me to check all my facts and how things work and, you know, how would you do something. And I've met so many fantastic people who have been so kind to me to, you know, to help me with my research.
Great. Brian, do you have a question?
Sure. Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you.
I was listening to the interview. Very good. I want to give Jill, by the way, Jill, I love your cover, and I love the interview, what's going on right now. I'm going to put you in a scenario, Miss Rosenblatt.
Okay.
Now, here's the scenario. I'm a man's man, a rugged man, a Neanderthal kind of guy. You know, I'm in Oregon, and I chop down trees with a handsaw. When I have to go to the bathroom, I look at a natural furry creature and use them for toilet paper. That's the kind of man I am.
Oh, my God.
Now, I happened to go into a bookstore, the only one in town, and I figured if I didn't find anything, I could always use it for toilet paper because my neighborhood store is out. So I go in, and I notice that it has free beer. I'm there. I'm there for the beer. I see your book, and
okay.
I pick it up, and I said, because I'm a manly man, you know, and I have my beard, you know, kind of in braids. Just for the look.
Oh, God.
I pick up your book, and I see The Fixer, The Naked Man. I go, ooh, I may have friends here. I don't know. Okay, I'm here for the beer. Didn't really plan on looking at The Naked Man. But what the hell? You know, I'm on a break. So this manly man, you may call me Bart, Big Bart.
Bart, why don't they just call you Paul Bunyan?
Well, quit picking on me. Bullying does not look good on you. I'm in a bookstore drinking my beer. I don't need to be bullied by you. So I pick up your book.
Yes.
What am I going to find as a manly man like me? And I realize that there's an author. Her name is Jill. I'm going, really? Jill? I'm reading a book from Jill, and it's titled The Naked Man, The Fixer. All right. I'm going for it. I feel a little happy today.
Okay.
So I'm reading your book, and what am I going to find? And what would make me interested as a manly man as I am?
Mm-hmm.
To not to use your book as toilet paper. Begin.
Because it's fast.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, it's got a fast pace. Doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
It just goes. It just goes from scene to scene.
Mm-hmm.
And you see people who are out there unapologetically doing their thing. If they're doing crime, that's what they do. And they don't apologize. And they don't sit around and they don't talk about it. And
right.
they're not sitting there, you know, pontificating on, you know, their feelings about this. And they're not having a sharing session. And they are just getting in there and they are living their life. They are doing what they do. And if they do crime, then that's what they do. They get out there and they do it. They don't apologize for it. This is business. We got to get things done. So if somebody Yeah, you want to get in there, you want to read the book, we're not going to,
mm-hmm.
The chapters are short, they keep moving, they keep pulling you from the next thing to the next thing to the next thing.
Hmm.
These are, you know, they get right in there. And there's also, when I talk about something, I make sure that I research it, I make sure that I check it with experts who know about this subject. I can give you a perfect example, book 3. Has to do with breaking into a safe cracking. I made
mm-hmm.
sure that I went out and I found a safe cracker who sat down with me, is wonderful, sat down with me for hours and showed me and explained to me what it is that goes into safe cracking.
Hmm.
So you want to sit down, you want to read a book, I'm going to get in there and I'm going to, you know, I'm not going to get so overly technical that it weighs the book down. But
right.
I am going to get in there and I'm going to carry you along as and do my best to carry you along, make it interesting, make it fast, make it adventurous, make it fun.
Wow.
It's a cross of, yeah, it's a little bit of James Bond. It's a little bit of hopefully, you know, Indiana Jones. It's this woman who is constantly thrown into different situations, dealing with different people. Some are dangerous, some are not. And she's got to navigate all of these different personalities and
nice.
Navigate all of these different things to do. And, you know, it's action. It's action. It's doing. It's not
that's
just sitting
right.
around and talking about it. So, yeah. So I think that
I think
Bart is going to like it.
Bart is happy, but he's not ready to buy. He's interested.
Okay.
Now, Bart is looking because Bart could read. He went past fourth grade. He's there. So Bart is reading. And he likes your lead character, Katarina.
Okay.
Now, being a man's man,
yeah,
and I have another, and I could get all the beer I want to as long as I keep reading. So I'm feeling a little dizzy. Now, I like my lead character, Katarina, and now I'm thinking, oh, my God, what happened to James Bond? Now I'm looking at my lead character, Katarina. And the only thing I'm going to question is, does she have big boobies?
Katarina is a very attractive, shapely young lady.
Shapely? What
yeah.
does shapely mean? Heavy? Is she kind of like overweight, diabetes?
No.
They have a type 2 diabetes?
No.
Oh, okay.
No, she's got some nice curves on there.
Curves?
She's got curves in all the right places.
I went out with a curvy woman once. Ate up half the meal. Big woman. Nice, but big woman. Curvy.
No.
Curvy.
She's tall. She's about, I picture her as about 5'7 or so. And
nice.
She does yoga. So she's
yes.
she's slender in the waist. But, yes, she has a very nice frame. She has very nice. So she is, she's got all the curves where she needs to have them.
Okay. I like it. Now, is she and your character, I love how she does business. I really do. The fixer. I really love it. It sounds like she's a no-nonsense, let's get to business kind of girl. And you mentioned before that she, you know, have a moral compass. It tends to bend. And I'm thinking that to do business, she may have to cut a few corners that maybe go against all of her morals. Am I correct?
Mm-hmm. Yes. Yeah, as you know, while she's doing what she has to do, she's still going to take her college classes. So she's still in class, and one of her classes in the first book is her ethics class.
Mm-hmm.
And so while she's studying her ethics during the day, she's going out to take care of business at night. And as she said, sometimes ethics is whatever it is that you want it to be, so that you can sleep at night. So that's what she has to. She's got to get it done. She needs the money.
So you do explore the moral and the ethical question. And I asked about the character because, you know, if you can't relate to the character, you lose the whole story. And I really do like the backstory of who your character is in the book. And how she gets things done. Now, is she thrust into the man's corporate world? And when we say her moral compass, we're not talking about anything other than business and corporate business and making deals, and she's the fixer. So does she get lost in this kind of world? And is there some kind of battle between her, inside of her, good and evil? And does she start losing her mind?
As a matter of fact, she's actually dealing at a level below the corporate world. She hasn't even gotten in there yet. She's going to. She's going to reach a point where all of a sudden she's in the world that looks like it's on the up and up. Right now, she is operating completely off the radar.
Mm-hmm.
So she's not even in the office yet. So we're not even dealing about, you know, with corporate espionage or whatever it is that, that goes on in the corporate world. This is totally off the radar. This is stuff where you're meeting people, you know, in the dead of night. You're she's the person that will go see the client, and yet the client doesn't want anybody to see her. She's the person that's supposed to stay hidden because she's getting done for them what they need done, and everything is a cash business. Everything is a cash business with the money in the shoebox that's in the shopping bag because she doesn't exist. She's not even supposed to be there. So
Bart likes me like me read more. I like where it's going. I love how you dealt with the moral situation. I love it. I love how you deal with, you're touching on a criminal life that she's starting to lead. I could see a trilogy. I could see many books coming from this character. I think you hit right into the business world, and I think a lot of men will also love this book. A lot of men can. And it seems, and I'm giving you a big compliment because we have a lot of ladies come in, and great authors, by the way, but most of the theme is towards women. You know, okay, fine, I got a woman character, but it's still womanly-like. I mean, you went right to the criminal aspect. You went right into the mind games, and you went into surviving the business world. That's what a man is. You got my attention.
Oh, great. Good work. Yeah, I hope people will enjoy her adventure. I think what I'm really looking for is when this is all over, she will not be the same person that she was when it started. She will have changed. And also there are the secondary characters that are coming in and out that I hope readers will enjoy them and will want to come back and check in with them because, you know, they'll come in and out, and there are, you know, everybody's different, and they all bring their own talent to the books because, as I said, there's lots that she doesn't know yet. There's stuff that she's still learning, and in some ways, all of these people have their own expertise as well. So she's going to learn because as she gains more skills and she steps out further and further, you know, there's going to come a time when she's going to have to step forward that, you know, while all of these different people are surrounding her, they are part of the crew. So does she have what it takes to step up and actually be the crew leader? That she's going to be the one that's calling the shots and planning the jobs that need to get done. It's a big, you know, arc that she's going to go through. So I hope that readers will enjoy her journey and will be interested to see what happens to her.
You know, you do quite, this is your first book. I'm very impressed, Jill. I'm very impressed how you're presenting it, promoting it, and character detail. Very impressed. Bart likes. Bart's constipated.
I'm glad.
Yeah, I'm glad. I'm looking at the form, and I really love, there's one thing that caught my eye, because when people come in, they fill out the form, and we book them for the show. You mentioned you have a giveaway.
I'd love to. Yeah, I would love to share. I would love to share books with readers. Yeah, absolutely. Of course.
Really?
So what are you giving? I'm always excited.
Really? I'm just going to say, so what are you giving away?
We could do some e-books. I would love to. We can do some e-books. Yeah.
Really? This is where I stock my library.
We can do some e-books.
So nice.
I actually have it in a format where I've got all three books together in e-book form. So we can do that. You know, I can give away, you know, a couple of paperback copies if people. I'm very open. I love to share the word. I love to introduce people to Katarina. I'm very excited to do that. I hope they enjoy it. So yeah. Absolutely.
Well, we have a couple of people in the studio. I have not talked to them. Let's see. They've been hearing the interview. And this is Tatata. Tatata is 29 years old, and she's a very good student, very smart. Let's see what she has to say and if she would like a copy. Ta-ta-ta, good morning. Good morning, Ta-ta-ta.
Hello.
Hello. So have you been listening to the interview, Ta-ta-ta?
Yep.
Okay, Jill, you hear how excited she is? Let's bring it home. Ta-ta-ta, would you like a copy of the book?
Well, based on what I heard about the book, it's like somebody doing bad stuff, which is not something I want to hear. But it's funny that she's taking ethics class and doing lying stuff. But, like,
okay.
I don't know.
No, you misunderstood, Ta-ta-ta. This is like a thriller. She, you know, the character, Katerina, is a superhero. She's in a man's world, you know, business world, and it's very hard for a woman to break into it, and then she's the fixer. She's like the hero. When things go wrong, they call her. She's the hero of this. Yeah.
What did the author say, Jose, about, like, her lying or something?
Well, go ahead and ask her. Jill, this is Ta-ta-ta. Ta-ta-ta, ask the author.
Hi.
Hello, Jill.
Hi.
Hello. So,
that's Ta-ta-ta when she's really happy.
Something about, like somebody doing, like, misdeeds or something?
She does, yes. She operates outside the law. When she gets a job that she has to either retrieve something or take care of something for her powerful client, she will do whatever it takes to get it done. So that's the kind of world she's living in. That's how she gets paid large sums of money that she desperately needs.
I'm just wondering, I'm just, like, worried about it affecting me, you know, like, I don't want to, kind of not interested in, like, misdeeds, you know?
then this might not, because, she does a lot of shady things, you know? She does things that are not legal, so.
I feel like I'd be more interested in Joe as a person. I just, based on your talking, I'm just very, like, I love how you talk, you know, and it's like very
expressive. You love Jill, don't you? Yeah, I'm more interested in Jill. Well, thank you, Ta-ta-ta. That's a compliment because I'm looking at the time. But that's a compliment, though, and that means the interview works because how we do the interview, again, thank you, sweetheart, how we do the interview is we want the readers to get to know the author, and once they fall into love with the author, they'll listen a little bit more intently, and they'll buy the book. And by the way, Ta-ta, before you make your decision, I want you to hear it because we have an Audible on it. So I want you to hear a little bit of it, okay? Before you make up your mind. And this is Charisse, our author. Well, I keep thinking Charisse is here. She's not. I'm sorry. But let me go to the Audible. Let me go to the Audible and listen very carefully, Ta-ta. Then decide. Here we go. We're listening to the Audible of The Fixer, The Naked Man, Katerina Mills, Book 1.
Someone is in here. Kat froze in the dark entranceway of her apartment. A rush of adrenaline shot through her. Her mind raced. Get out. Leave. Call the cops. She saw something on the floor. Ignoring her instincts, she stepped in further, knelt down, and picked it up. A tie. Her eyes had adjusted to the dark, and she stood up, placing a hand on a chair. A jacket was draped over the corners. The tension leached out of her body. She didn't know too many burglars who broke into nondescript, low-rent apartments to strip. The bathroom door opened, and a flash of light cut through the darkness. Philip emerged, naked, except for a towel around his waist. Seeing Kat standing with his tie draped over her fingers, he smirked. "Hi, beautiful," he said. "Going to show that on QVC?" "I hope your apartment is out of hot water," she said, ignoring his remark. His eyebrows quirked. "No? Why?" "How did you find me, Philip?" He closed the gap between them. "I'm just back from Boston," he said, caressing her cheek with a feather-light touch of his fingers. And I do have the skills to locate people. The heat radiating from him made her breath catch in her throat. He was wearing his usual come-hither smile. Cat knew what that smile meant. A lot of enjoyable moaning and groaning in the night, followed by regret and self-loathing in the morning. "You should have called," she said, walking past him into the bedroom. The bed had already been turned down. A bottle of wine and two glasses were sitting on the corner of her low dresser. "We won't be needing those," she said. "No love for a friend?" he asked, dropping onto the bed. "No love for an ex-boss. But we're still friends, right?" "You have lots of friends. You won't miss one. But you're my best friend." He gave her a slow smile. "Aren't you going to get undressed?" Kat's lips tightened. She hadn't seen Philip in months. It didn't matter. The college frat boy good looks never changed. The shock of dark hair, the body lean and fit. "You don't mind if I do then, do you?" he asked, and the towel was off. He lay on the bed, exposed without shame, and she allowed herself to examine him openly. The ripple of muscle across his stomach, his broad shoulders, were an open invitation for exploration with hands, lips, and tongue. "I would ask how goes the temp gal Friday gigs," he said, "but I can see by your new digs, not well." "I'm fine." "Yes, you are. I bet they all tell you how much they love you." "I'm used to hearing that line," she said. "I don't believe them either." "You didn't ask how things are for me," Philip said, glossing over her comment. "You don't look unhappy," she said. Phil stretched his arms back, lacing his fingers behind his head. "Things are great, but I screwed up, you know? I made a big mistake, letting you get away." "Not interested," she said, but the words had no bite. She caught the soft expression on his face, the eyes narrowing to dark slits. All she had to do was say the word. His face said he knew she would. So did she. Already her body was preparing, against her mind, her will, and her reason. The adrenaline of the evening's activities was still pulsing through her veins, every nerve heightened, down to the tingling of her skin. She needed to take the pressure off. "I don't suppose you'd like to forgive me," he said. "Naked requests for forgiveness are a little tacky, don't you think?" Philip rose from the bed and came to her. His eyes held hers as he slowly slid his hands from her shoulders to her waist. He undid the zipper on her jeans, peeling them down, revealing her black bikini panties. Kneeling down, he brushed his lips across her belly. She wanted to run her fingers through his hair, dig in, and hold on for what was coming next. He glanced up with a sly smile.
Wow. Steamy. Spark lights. Steamy. Ta-ta-ta. What do you think? You like?
I think I'll stick with children's books, Brian.
Okay. Well, that's good. I have a mind of a child, but it's a pubescent little boy. I like it. I love it, Joe. I love it. And we, you know, if everybody liked, you know, our taste, we'll be multimillionaires. But it hits me as a grown man. And Ellen's also an author. And Ellen, what is your review? Really quickly, because we got 4 minutes. I didn't realize we're so short.
I like it.
I know you do. You want to go out and commit crime after listening to that. You did a great job, Joe. You did a wonderful job. And The Fixer. You're welcome. The Fixer, the Naked Man, the author. And you will know her name, Amy. How come I have, it's three. Jill Amy Rosenblatt, or is it just Jill Rosenblatt?
Jill Amy.
Jill Amy. That's a dangerous lady right there. She got two first names right there. But you know she, you don't mess with her. Joe Amy Rosenblatt, everyone. And Joe, we have like 30 seconds, and if we didn't touch on anything that you wanted to talk about, this is the time to do it and tell people how they get the book and your fans and the giveaway. Ellen will be in contact with you because I'm one of the people that would be dying to hear the whole story. And it's all yours, Joe.
Oh, thank you. First of all, thank you so much. Thank you for having me. I had such a fabulous time, and I loved being here with you. I love to hear from readers. I'm on Twitter. My handle is at Jill A. Rosenblatt. You can find me on Facebook. I have a website, JillAmyRosenblatt.com. Love to hear from readers. Love to get questions. Sign up for the newsletter, and you can get all the news that's coming first before it's posted anywhere else. I'm on Facebook. I just love to connect with readers. I love to hear from readers. You can find the books on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Google Play. I've distributed them everywhere that I can think of, Smashwords. So they're widely available. And you can get the trilogy all together in one ebook file exclusively at my website. That you can't find anywhere else. All three books together at JillAmyRosenblatt.com are available for sale right there. And please reach out and say hi to me, and I'll say hi back because I love to connect. And thank you again. It was such a fabulous experience, and I loved being here with you. I just had so much fun. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're so welcome. And you are funny, and you are good, and thank you for coming in there. And a word from Bart. He is constipated, but he loves it. You're going to do really well. All right. You guys support our indie authors. I mean, this is really a great story. I'm not kidding. This is a story that after work, you know, my head hurts, I'm doing a lot of things, I can put my headphones on, and I can get lost. The narration, by the way, is good. The book cover is fabulous, Joe. Really good. Good picking. Good choice. And you're welcome. Ladies and gentlemen, the great, infamous, and soon famous Jill Rosenblatt, everybody. Thank you so much. And we'll be right back with more. Thank you, Jill.
Thank you.
And we'll be right back with more Hammer and Ellen in the morning. Thank you. Support Jill. What a great book. I love the title of the picture. All right. And now a word from our sponsor. Okay. And we're from our sponsor. All right, let me move the crowd out. It's 1 minute. We do have a doubleheader. And if you have any fears that you're going through or something you're afraid of, our next show is coming up in 1 minute. And we're going to talk about fears and how to overcome them. So, again, we have a doubleheader. But here's a word from our sponsor. Hello, I'm a word from the sponsor. My name is Brian. And I want to talk to you about Purple Diamond Publishing. It's one of the best publishing companies ever. Don't let the name fool you. She's not a publisher. We're talking about Charisse Kateri, wait for it, Cox, which she is as a literary consultant. And you need one. It's like an agent to help you get your book to move forward, to sell more copies, to have a consultation with a professional to get you in the world's stage. So remember Purple Diamond Publishing, and remember the name, Charisse Kateri, wait for it, Cox. You will not be disappointed. We're here to move artists forward, and she moves books. And that's who you need to talk to. Her consultation, first consultation, is free. Can't get any better than that. Our next show begins in 1 minute, so we're going to have to hang up now. And we'll hopefully, if you have any fears, listen to the next show. And thank you so much. And now we're going to have to sit. We're going to bid adieu. So be safe out there. Keep your distance. That's right. And more with Ellen and I in 1 minute. If you have any fears at all, we're going to talk about fears and how to overcome it. I have a fear called marriage. Scares the hell out of me. Then again, I have to ask myself, any woman want to marry me? I know she's crazy. So why should I get married? Not going there. Thank you for listening to the show. Let's support Jill Rosenblatt. Cheer on the fixer. Love the title. All right, we have to go because we got another show. We're going to talk about fears and how to overcome it. Let's see if we can do it. Thank you, Ellen. Great interview. Thank you. And thank Jill Rosenblatt for us. We'll see you guys in
one minute.
You
can thank yourself.
Oh, she's still here? Oh, Jill. Oh,
hey.
Let's bring in a limousine for Jill. Hi, Jill. I'm glad you're still here. It is a pleasure. Now I got the pressure on me. No. Well, we have another show, and we got a lovely lady who's going to talk about her fears and how we can overcome them. So I have to say goodbye to everybody. And as we say in France, bon appétit. No, that's not by.
What has that to do with food?
Oh, as we say in Italy, ciao bella. Hey, how's that, Ellen? I'm international. Yeah.
Okay.
Ciao bella, babies. We'll be back in about a minute. Bye, everybody. Bye.
Bye.
Bye. Bye-bye.
Bye.